This is an unusual experience. Good morning and good afternoon. It's 11 o'clock in Cayman. It's 5 p.m. in the UK, where I normally do this show from. Welcome to What Comes Next Live. For the very first time, and on our 60th show, I'm sitting here in the same room with my good friend Morgan DaCosta in Georgetown, Grand Cayman. Where do I start? Well, it's first of all, I've been in Cayman for a week or two, and it's really good to be over here. First time in 18 months, and it's good to see Morgan. Morgan's, apart from anything else, he's a thespian, so he's given me stage guidance. So I shouldn't be looking at him. I should be looking at the camera. But for the next half an hour, we're going to talk to Morgan DaCosta about what comes next.
It's really good to see
you. Good to see you, man.
Welcome back to the tropics.
Cheers.
You know, and I know it's been a long ride getting back here, but I'm glad to see you in person.
Let's go.
We've shared a lot of time on the computer for different times over the years talking while you were gone, but it's good to actually shake your hand and be face to face, which
totally.
In this pandemic is almost become a no-no.
Yeah.
And I must make an observation, Tom. You look relaxed.
Thank you.
So I don't know if it's the tropics or if it's just the new way you're engaging.
You know, it's an interesting, I'll be personal about that. I came across, I'm here for about 10 days quarantine and then 10 days out of quarantine. I'm spending my days meeting friends and people around business. But my evenings, I'm staying with my sons, and my evenings, I'm staying in their condo, spending my time with them, spending the weekends with them. And it's the interesting thing for me is, I didn't really realize how much not seeing my children had impacted me. And they're all adults now, but not seeing them had impacted me because I just didn't want to feel it. I put a pain blocker and just didn't think about it. Yeah. I'd see them on video, but it's not the same. And I've noticed it after about a week that I've slowed down, feel quite relaxed, just sitting on the sofa, sitting on the couch, even take out food or cooking for them. It's just made all the difference. So that's...
It's kind of reconnecting all around.
Yeah, and just kind of, it's grounding, I think is the best way to put it. So yeah, but thanks for the observation.
Fantastic. So thank you for coming. I mean, this is definitely a different experience, as you stated, because most times you're staring into the computer as opposed to doing this. But I really appreciate you inviting me on. That's awesome. I guess we've known each other now. But we shouldn't tell anybody that.
A long time.
And I guess the truth is of the matter is that the journey started back in 2012 together as far as
business side, yeah.
And I think it was an introduction through an offering through the Chamber of Commerce that we got together. But be quite honest, Tom, it's been an incredible learning journey, and I think I made a joke with you in one of the meetings that we had initially getting started, and it was simple. It was I said, you know, I used to think Tom knew everything, or I thought Tom was a know-it-all, but really he is. There's pieces of information that seems to have just they get lost, and different people telling you stuff at the level that you operate at. And I think one of the things that we've done through you, along with our team, and we said it earlier, is really elevate, you know? You know, we took our business from a family business out of a den when I was a child.
That's 45, 50 years ago.
Yeah. But yeah, and we brought it to, and we've grown exponentially in square footage. Up until now where we can't grow anymore as far as physical plant, so we're growing as far as business. And now I've taken over from my father and my mother. And we're now back up, we're now up to, I think, about 26, 27 employees, which in a big country, that's a very micro business. And in our country where we are with a smaller population, we're not doing too bad. We're not a full... large company like some of the other ones on the island. But I think we have a solid grounding and we're well known for what we do within our category. And we're actually the benchmark to follow and emulate. So we're grateful for that. And I think because of your tutelage, as well as your vision as to what's next,
mm-hmm.
For us and then for me personally, I think has helped us bring that up. And I've told you that on several different occasions that, you know, I've taken on and inculcated it in a lot of our pieces of our business. It's not completely through all of it yet to emulate it completely.
Mm-hmm.
But, it's reaping its benefits or showing the benefits of being reaped mm-hmm. by what we're able to do.
Well, first of all, thank you for all of that. And we did talk before we came online. We caught up and all of, and you're always looking to continuous improvement. It's one of the phrases you've used. For the audience who would listen to this on podcasts later, not just what is it your business does, but what's the purpose and intent of the business?
So that's always interesting, right? Because we want to know what our why is. Well, I think our business is that we want to provide a level of service to our customers, for one, that is second to none. A product listing that is comparable to any major economy in the world. But at the end of the day, we also want to just have a sense of comfort for our family
mm-hmm.
to be able to not work as hard,
mm-hmm.
Work intelligently, and then be able to enjoy what we've done without mm-hmm. without too much. So I think that is really the impetus of what we're doing now. We're enjoying what we do because it's not that we are tied to having to make commitments back to
mm-hmm.
a big institution, bank, or whatever. You know, we still continue to operate in that sphere as far as we think it's a different thing, but we're not enslaved to it.
Mm-hmm.
It actually flows nicely. I look forward to coming to work.
Kind of in control of it.
We're in control,
mm-hmm.
which is a big, big deal.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it was always the goal to get to that point.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we're slowly getting there. I don't think we're there yet, but then again, I don't think I'll ever completely just take my hands off of the wheel until it is time to, that there's somebody under me to, mm-hmm. to take over and guide the MV ship of MADAC, mm-hmm. you know? And we kind of changed what we were doing as far as how we were doing it. We looked at it more as our business is snacks and beverages. And as opposed to it being just always business, we looked at it as what we do. We sell fun.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So once we kind of jumped into that, I put everybody in really bright colored shirts just to kind of emulate that.
Yeah, I didn't get the memo. It's just by accident.
You always look very cool, man. I love the socks, though. Always the socks.
Always the bright socks.
I even did it in your
own. Hey, he's got kaleidoscopic socks on.
But I think we sell fun. Mm-hmm. And when we pass that through to new people coming along, tell them your story, it works, you know? And remember that. If we work hard, but we sell fun at the end of the day because we want you to take our product to the beach. We want you to take our products in the boat. We want mm-hmm. you to take our products to your party.
Mm-hmm.
And we make up that fun element of, I guess, a cheap meal, if you will.
Yeah.
So once we do that, it works better.
Mm-hmm.
That does not really work, but we sell fun.
Yeah. Remind me, I mean, I've not worked with you in your business for a while, but we looked at your market positioning a while ago, and it was like you were re-logoing, re-taglining the business.
Yeah.
What's that now?
Well, we did a couple iterations of that. We said that we were captains of our ship.
Yeah, yeah.
Kind of playing along the line of I guess, the Caribbean and a lot of boats being around. But I think we just said, well, we really sell fun.
Yeah. Okay. Cool. So it's an interesting thing is that having worked with you for years is that sometimes you're not the only person I've worked with leading a business. I mean, one of them I think of right now, it came out a number of years ago working in financial services says, I'm not really having any fun.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not having fun. So, and if you're working for the business rather than the business working for you, it's tough to fake it that it's fun in the business. And, you know, you took the reins starting quite a number of years ago and with some support from myself and others. And you really got the business humming nicely. Always hungry to improve. But then that leaves space for it to be fun. And maybe space to do other things. And, it's, you know, I mean, I also think of the, you know, you're back when you had time, you were giving me guidance on how to look at the camera after the first sentence and actually talk to people. And I know most of our audience are actually people who listen to this on audio, but we always record it on video. But, you know, you were very involved with the Cayman National Cultural Foundation. And, you know, one of the things that came on for me is sometimes we're always making excuses for being small, right? But there are some areas of Cayman that are really world class. And honestly, some of the places I've gone to get food here, like, you know, there's one Trinidadian roti shop on the island. Mm-hmm. And seriously, I sent WhatsApp messages of my roti to Trinidadian friends from Trinidad and Southern Caribbean. And they go, man, I'm so jealous you at Sings, right?
Yes.
I mean, there's like, seriously, you'll struggle to find a better roti shop in Trinidad than the one we have here. But there's all kinds of things that are great. But the in a really small way, with Cayman culture, we've always had, I'm not sure if it's still running, we've always had this thing called Rundown, which is like a satirical review of the island and politics and stuff. And, you know, I remember you used to be involved with that all the time. Now, that was one of the most fun things possible.
Yeah, I actually did 17 years of it. And I think it's now in its 24th year. Mm-hmm. So with the birth of my son, I kind of came out of it because it was a little bit...
Rehearsals were
demanding and long. It is still going, and they actually had a really good one this year, which was interesting that with all the Zoom meetings that were happening as part of what the world was doing then at that point in order to continue mm-hmm. some semblance of business, they recreated a Zoom meeting on stage inclusive of buffering.
That is on stage
because
for those who might not be aware, Cayman is in a COVID bubble
and has gone
through absolutely world-class management of the crisis, including 24-hour curfews for a period of time that people actually did observe.
Correct.
Fantastic, constant communications from both the elected politicians and the officials. Within what, 3 months, Cayman had it, at a point where there's no community transmission. And it's remained that way now for over a year.
Correct. So, I think we're closer now to 16 months.
16 months. And absolutely amazing. So it's having come out of quarantine, it's quite stunning to be here.
Yeah.
But that's a little thing on that. In Cayman, in London, where I'm based, we have a thing, Cayman Connection, and we help the Caymanians living and working and studying, particularly studying overseas. And somebody who you'll know really well, Rita Estevanovich, is doing her master's in fine art and acting. With her son, and she lives 3 or 4 miles from me, right? But of course, we've not seen each other more than once or twice because of COVID and stuff. But she actually arranged for the Rundown crew to do the Zoom meeting sketch on Zoom.
Right. I was aware of that. I was supposed to have participated.
So it was so fun.
It was unfortunately that I could not. I had a family issue that I could not be part of it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was, Rundown is still doing fantastically well. We're actually in the process of transitioning now our cultural foundation
mm-hmm.
into a arts foundation.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to be led by actually a lady that you know as well, probably quite well. I know you know her family. And the intention is that she will overarch it with the intentions of bringing all of the artistic entities under one roof.
Oh.
It's Natalie.
So
that's the dynamics that we're changing now. The Matus, who have been here for the last 33 years, I think mm-hmm. it is, has done a fantastic job leading the organization. Mm-hmm. And of course, change must occur mm-hmm. in order to continue to survive. So that's where we are now. And
so that's for the arts in Cayman. That's what comes next.
Correct.
Using my
what
phrase.
What comes next?
So Natalie took on board the previous head of the National Gallery raised the funds.
Correct.
And she took on board turning that into a real organization.
So Natalie has done a fantastic job.
And Mr. Matus is finally retiring.
Correct.
So, and that's an interesting transition.
Yeah. So the dynamics have been incredible. Myself,
and you're still on the board, right?
I am the deputy chair on the board along with a gentleman by the name of Martin Bold. Between the two of us, we've been steering the ship through ever-changing waters with a new ministry and new dynamics, new people. So that's been a lot of fun. That's taken quite a bit of time to get to that point. But again, the same thing, Tom, I sometimes it seems like I'm blowing a really big trumpet on your behalf, but the truth is that much of the teachings that we brought on for our business is what we have inculcated into our own personal processes in life. And we've elevated that organization as well through using workflows, processes to get to that next stage. And basically, I think, and I had an incredible, I guess, observation of myself this past weekend. I went to the BRAC. You commented on a few of the pictures that I put up. But it was just a
nice beautiful
break and experience, right? But I had a friend of mine who's a very successful real estate guy, and we were there looking at different properties, different opportunities, what's next, so on and so forth. And the interesting thing is when I looked up, he would be walking way ahead of me. And I was kind of there looking down and, you know, observing what was around. I'd pick up on the nuances of things, pick up on different stones, pick up on the puddles of water, you know, ask certain questions about different things. And I said, you know, it's interesting. You know, I just realized something. I sit and I look. I tend to look down a lot because I'm looking around me to see what's happening and to observe where I'm at. We all kind of get lost in looking always at the future, what's next, what's next, what's next. There needs to be time where you look down and look around and actually say, you know, where I'm at is actually not a bad spot. Wow, look at that. I didn't notice that before. And I said, that's maybe something you should consider. I said, I know you're always looking for what's the next big project next on the horizon, but also realize how you can enhance that particular project that you're at right now, that they actually come looking for you instead of you looking for them. He's like, oh my gosh, are you getting philosophical on me? I said, I really didn't mean to, but I guess I did. I scared myself.
You know? Well, but joking aside, and I know it's a lot of fun, is there's a couple of thoughts occurs to me from listening to you. And one of those, I'll be personal on this as well, at 55, particularly with things like COVID, particularly not seeing kids for a year and a half, I was making a real, when I say it was double grounding here, I've been really focused on being super present. And just going, hey, I'm sitting on the couch with takeout pizza, watching a movie with my kids. And I'm absorbing every moment of that. Right? So once we've got solidity in the present, then we can look at how do I take, you know, the power is in the present, right? So how do we take that and move forwards? So I think you're making a really good awareness point of to you know, looking at, as you talked about your business earlier, getting your business to the point where it's running really well, and there's always things to improve on, but it's running really well and you're highly regarded, people know what you do, you're a leader in your field. That creates space to look at other things, whether committing time and energy to being the deputy chair of this, I think it's a fantastic idea of Cayman National Arts Foundation, moving it all together. But you know, the present and the future have to be juxtaposed. The piece that I love to hear you say, because I love Cayman and I always want Cayman to be improving, is you'll remember in taking concepts into the business for you, in coaching them in rather than just telling you what to do. You start out with the first layer is the concept. The second layer is to document the strategy. The third layer is to implement it. And you've been diligently doing this. You and your business have been one of the most diligent clients I've ever worked with and actually getting that stuff done. But then there's two more layers which don't often get talked about. And one is the point at which you turn around to me a couple of years ago and said, you know what, don't need you anymore, we got this, right? Which was action. I remember telling you and your controller how gratifying that felt to me, because that's the fourth layer, when you can now be mentoring, leveraging that into your business, because you know it better than the coach, right? But what you've done now is hit the fifth layer, which is quite rare, which is actually where you take that out into your personal life, but you also take that out into things like being on that board. And you start going, okay, it becomes part of how you operate.
Right.
And you go, well, how do we then take that out and make a difference elsewhere?
Correct.
And, you know, I think we actually started working in the business about 2015. and 3 or 4 years solidly and diligently and consistently that you guys did it. Because it can take that long. It's a 40-year-old business. It can take that long to build that foundation in the present that then gives you this jumping off point. So it's a fantastic thing to hear that one example of, I'm sure, many, that you've been able to apply things that you've chosen to learn and grow from. You know, you can, I really do accept the acknowledgement and thank you. But ultimately, the opportunity to learn and grow is inevitable. Mm-hmm. And there are different ways in which to do that and to elevate ourselves. But also, the really cool thing I'm hearing now, I didn't know about this aggregation of the Cultural Foundation and the arts and the gallery. But actually to take that as a, you know, sort of deputy chair role on a board is something that's incredibly important to the culture of our country.
Yes.
And to take things you've learned and go, okay, these are core principles that can be applied in so many different ways. So you've actually, in Sherlock's terms, hit level 5 out of 5. I know that's something General Electric has language around, yeah. Right? But that's, in your own way, you've hit that level 5 leadership. So that's really cool to hear. There's really nothing much cooler than I can hear that somebody that, you know, if I can help somebody in any small way get there, that's very cool. So yeah. And so you're in the present, you've got all that. So what's next?
Exactly. What's next? So what's interesting is, this is something again, because I really have a freaky memory. That I remember nuances of our conversations from years back. But you did say to me, you know, what's next for you? Are you going to come out and maybe consider doing a little coaching for yourself, get involved in that part of it? How do you see driving your life and your business forward? And what's interesting is that they seek you out.
Yeah.
You're not seeking. Yeah. So while in the BRAC, and maybe for your listeners, the Cayman Islands are made up of three islands, Grand Cayman, Cayman BRAC, and Little Cayman. And Cayman BRAC, where it comes from, a bluff that runs down the center of it that's over 110 feet tall. In that interaction while there in the BRAC, several people said, why don't you open a branch of your business up here?
Mm-hmm.
We're constantly buying from you and having to pay to freight it up here. What if you're here? I know so many other people that would do this, and this with you. So a good mutual friend of ours is now over there running his business as well too as a satellite. And I'm actually really looking at it because the more I sit and think about it, the more it has relativity.
Mm-hmm.
And the more I think it's the time to move forward because simple observation, while I was there, 15 new cars came on island.
So again, for our listeners, the BRAC, the economy of the three Cayman Islands is utterly dominated by Grand Cayman.
Correct.
And the BRAC has, much like the Western Isles of Scotland, where a lot of my family is from, has been heavily reliant upon government jobs, government subsidy for many, many years. And people actually had much better high school results out of the BRAC than Grand Cayman because that's the pathway to, you know, getting success, which means leaving the BRAC until you can retire.
Yeah.
So it's never really economically developed in the 30 plus years I've known it. But guess what? When you can't fly anywhere other than inter-island flights, there's so many people who've never ever been to the BRAC before are going there every other weekend and going, hey, land's cheap here. It's quite nice here.
So my wife is one of those people that have never been to the BRAC in the 25 years we've been there. She went over there and like, oh my gosh, I didn't know all this was here. Meaning, infrastructure-wise, not necessarily the broader sense of all this is here, like where you're from or where you're living now and having all the opportunities to shop in a bigger kind of a metropolitan area like a Florida, Miami area, right? So it's quite funny is that they're saying the BRAC is the new Miami.
it's obviously, it's a, you know, changes because of rest. It's a different pace. But if there's some more economic activity, you mentioned 15 new cars coming on, then it might be that weekend break that people can take. And it might be they you know, put something into buying a piece of land, and a few years later building a house. And well, there are plenty, there are quite a number of people. There's a big social divide, but there's a number of people with money in Cape Town, and they might do that sooner.
Yeah.
But the piece you're talking about is also interesting. So whether it's a business opportunity, a mutual friend of ours who has a Cape Town is listening will know this person, but has a business that does equipment rental. Right? Like one of my early clients in, before Madoff. And I said to him, you know, when you get your capability in your business up to a certain level, the phone starts to ring.
Yeah.
And so people come to you. And they got a massive opportunity from a huge British equipment company called JCB, who fundamentally phoned them up and says, we've heard about you.
Yeah.
We'd like you to be our franchise. And so at a business level, that happens. And I what I'd put it to you is that you're, even though when we were talking before we came on air, you were talking about a few people challenges, staff challenges, recruitment challenges, but actually your ability to stay steady through all of that is also just one of those areas where people will go, hey, there's something about, like you said, I was looking well. You're looking really well, right? A few pounds on, you know, but, you know, looking well, I'm much the same with a few pounds on. But people will start coming towards you just as you come towards your business.
Yeah.
So that's where you get a bit esoteric about leadership, because how you leadership is all about how you show up, right?
Correct.
So pretty cool. So
it is.
Good to see you.
It is. And the good thing about it is that, you know, we have, and I believe in two things. I believe in giving respect when I meet people. Mm-hmm. I believe in them having to continue to earn that respect or to keep that respect. Mm-hmm. And I think that's far greater than trying to earn it. Mm-hmm. Because of what threshold then have they earned your respect? Mm-hmm. But as I believe is a harder challenge, keeping that respect. And I think because of showing up like that, that's where a lot of people come towards me that, because I try to ask, tell my people to do the same thing. Mm-hmm. You know, don't treat people as if they're just an opportunity to make money, but actually treat them as there's an opportunity and a friendship here where I can better enhance your business through mm-hmm. what I know. Mm-hmm. And I think that approach has emanated throughout the organization. One part of our business as well is that we do a tire shop business. Mm-hmm. And what I found looking around, there was maybe one other company that had elevated up. And as far as the level of equipment, because cars have become more and more technical. Mm-hmm. They're not your father's Oldsmobile, as the commercial says. They're now computer chip driven. Mm-hmm. They're now air sensitive as far as registering that information in the car. That requires a particular piece of equipment to run that and to be aware of it. The tire changing equipment is required that accounts for that. And then there's a system of balances, mm-hmm. balancing of your car. And those things, we went above and beyond what the market was doing now and got the latest and greatest that we could afford. I mean, make sure that we're clear about that. But that has brought us up significantly in the market where people look at it and list and say, oh, wow, you have A now. We also have B and C. Well, you do? I was like, yeah. Okay. Coming in to see us. We're starting now with our online, working. It was in the process of getting our online reservations. So you call me up. You're a busy CEO. You only have X amount of time.
You can have a slot.
Get in your slot, drop it, and then make sure that we have what you need in stock. So that's all those things that we're doing. The gentleman is a good friend of mine. We did his car the other day, mm-hmm. and he was ecstatic about what we did. But there was a little challenge with one of the rims. I was like, no worries, man. Bring it all the way. Bring it back in. I'll make sure that I oversee what they're doing with it. And just that one action, you know, he was like, look, you know, sometimes I can be quite the lawyer, but I really thank you for being and doing what you all do. I've told so many of my other friends mm-hmm. about you, and we have obviously gained quite a bit from his group of friends at a very high level as far as the type of cars they're bringing. So that means people are trusting us that we will respect what their equipment is, and that we have the technical know-how to do what needs to be done on that particular rim for that particular high-end car. Mm-hmm. So I guess that continues to do what I guess I strive to do, is elevate what we're doing.
And as you talked about earning respect and then maintaining respect, and in a market standpoint, it's you don't have to be bleeding edge, but you have to be always looking to improve. Right? You mentioned, I won't go into it now with the detail, but a couple of technologies you put in place, they weren't standard in this market.
No.
And so, but it, what it speaks to is you're always looking to provide what the market needs and provide good quality, etc. So, yeah, there's I thought that something occurs to me. I mean, we're getting to wrap up now with the time. I moved. I live currently. I mean, I'm came out of home, but I currently live in London, and it's a city of 10 million people. And it's all too easy for people to not behave in a way that, you know, not care about how they show up with people, mm-hmm. because there's always somebody else. There's always another shop I can go to. There's always another customer. And one of the things that I adapt to quite well, because I'm originally from a small, very small place, I love Cayman as soon as I got here, and I love the fact that everybody knows everybody. A little story, because we tell stories around here.
Absolutely.
So I went into a cafe called Isla Naturals the other day, and I had not been on Isla for 18 months. And I was there with a Caymanian, but somebody who'd actually pretty much lived overseas for most of the last 25 years.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And we were having a cup of coffee. So they've just moved back, and they're finding it quite difficult to break in and actually establish relationships. Right? But they were born here. Right? And I go in there, and there's somebody joking at the counter about, you know, not remembering their name or whatever. And I go to the lady who leads the counter team there. I said, "You're not going to say hello to me either?" She goes, "Oh, hi, Tom." And the guy I was with, who just moved back from London, was like absolutely blown away that she remembered my name after 18 months. I had been in that shop for 18 months.
Yeah.
Right? So the part of the point of that story is that it is a bubble in that, not just a COVID bubble, but mm-hmm. You know a lot of people, right? So it initially creates a discipline that you have to be careful about. You know, you always have to be, like, every interaction matters.
Yeah.
Because nobody's more than one or two steps away. And if you don't carry yourself in a certain way all the time, constantly, and yes. always on guard, it can be a bit wearing at times, especially if you're in a leadership position in the community.
Mm-hmm.
But it ultimately becomes something I find quite easy, because you just always do it. You're yeah. always carrying yourself in a certain way. Whereas it's so different in big countries. So there is that sense of community. And it's, in a business standpoint, you could systemize it and process it.
Yeah.
And go, actually, well, I'm always going to look after that person in a certain way. Yeah. You and I have talked so much about process. There's something very Caymanian about, don't worry, man, just bring it by, I'll look after you. And it doesn't have to be calculating, but then he's going to end up referring you to 20 people.
And the thing is that everybody knows somebody that knew you.
Exactly.
So, I mean, we, as you know, growing up, being here and your kids growing here, is one of the good Caymanian sayings is who you found, you know, like, who are you for? And then you start saying, well, my mommy is so-and-so, my daddy is so-and-so. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I know
the farmer to so-and-so.
Well, you just introduced me to your new staff member, and she mentioned the name of her husband. I go, oh, you're so-and-so.
it just kind of goes on, because of how small the degrees of separation are. That's what we do. But also, too, I think it's, we have this thing being thrown around by our Department of Tourism, as you well know, called Cayman Kind. And then it's just naturally occurring. We just sometimes have to be reminded that, hey, look, hold on a minute. We all live here.
Yeah.
It's not us, it's all of we.
But all of we. I'll give you a little, and I'll give you a last little story from me, then I'll give you the last word. So I'd like to do my guess. So during the pandemic, I've been part of helping the Caymanians overseas community build Zoom calls and things like this, because then we not just make it all about one city like London, it's people in Canada, US, whatever.
Right.
So we get a bunch of people on every week, and it's a great way to connect at the end of the day, and you just kind of fills the cup with it.
Right.
And one time there was this young woman, real powerhouse, she's running podcasts, she's doing all the stuff, she entered this competition, she did all this stuff, she was running soca size events for us and this kind of thing, and she must be about mid-20s. All right, and mother's from England and her father's from Cayman. And she's introducing herself to all of us. And it's like 12 of us, right? And about 10 of us, like being from Cayman, we're all listening to introduce herself. As soon as she says her daddy's from Kmart, what's the one question we're all wanting to ask?
Who that is.
Who that is. And so we're like, she's talking. And then everybody's just kind of like, who's going to jump in? And I went, okay, I don't mind going first. I went, listen, we're all asking the same question, right? And nobody's on mute because it's quite a small group, all right? And I just ask a question and everyone just bursts out laughter. And as soon as she says, oh, my daddy's this person, all right? Mm-hmm. It's like, we're all like, oh, yeah, we know him. He's a good guy. This kind of, it's just, and then there was the slightly weird British part of it. It was kind of going, okay, are they going to assess me based upon who my father is or whatever? But what about me? And part of it for me, I've always found wonderful, is it's such a small community. You kind of need to know, like almost in recruitment, it's against the rules somewhere else. You need to know who people are for, right? But then you don't judge them based upon that. They have their own identity.
That's right? Correct.
And you just go, I just need to know. It's a small community.
Yeah.
I just need to know where the connections are. And part of that is you don't want to cause offense or anything like this, and you don't want to tread across lines. But it's interesting to me. I found people, and they might have a father in jail or something. It doesn't mean I go, oh, they have their own individual thing. Anyway, I'm going on with the story, but it was just one of those things for me. It was like,
it was
so funny. All of us are kind of like, always leaning into the Zoom, kind of going like, we just need to know who your daddy is. And then we had to explain, and that's cool. Now we know, that's great.
Yeah. So it was interesting. I mean, and you've been in my office on several occasions. I have a kind of a stencil painting, if you will, on the wall.
A big one, yeah.
So it faces, or I face it every day when I sit at my desk. And it's where you come from, you know, who Anna is.
Mm-hmm.
And Anna is a West African word meaning all of we.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I think at the end of it, it says, you have to know where you come from to know where you're going. And I think that's the epitome of anything. You know, we develop these businesses with the intent of bettering our families, mm-hmm. not necessarily to make money,
mm-hmm.
because that's the logic, but that's not the logic. The logic is how do we elevate? Again, same word. And help our children not have to work as hard as we did, or get the best education that we possibly can afford for them and provide them with the various opportunities that mm-hmm. come with that education. So, but I think you still gotta remember where you come from. Because
mm-hmm.
not everybody is going to elevate at the same speed and the same level that you are attempting to, or you have already done.
Mm-hmm.
And, I think that's one of the things that makes me unique.
Mm-hmm.
Because I recognize the struggles of people and I recognize what they're trying to do for themselves. And I mean, I guess I recognize when they're playing the fool as well.
Mm-hmm.
And, so it's a balance that we do here, but I think it's a balance that comes with life, and it's a balance in how you handle your personal affairs, and it's a balance in how you handle your kids, because that same old country respect that you mm-hmm. were inculcated with,
mm-hmm.
say good morning, say yes mom, say no mom. Mm-hmm. When you get to London, that falls away. They're running you over in the tube.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they come here as far as transplants from metropolitan areas and having that similar logic. And all of a sudden, somebody came and said, whoa, hey, wait a minute, man. Hold on. You're not back in London anymore.
Yeah. Good morning.
How are you?
You're respectful.
And it's that change is what brings it.
So I'm going to wrap us up in a minute, and I'm going to kind of have the last word because
Fantastic.
I've got an idea. When there's a point when you come to London, you can join. I'm the crazy person, and you can join me being a crazy person. We're both 6 foot tall plus. We can go on the tube, and you know what we're going to do? We're going to do what I often do on my own. I make eye contact with people and I say hello. So we could just have a game.
Oh my God, Eric. Well, who is he?
Walk down Oxford Street and we go, good morning. How are you?
Yeah, that would be quite fun.
And I think that might be fun.
It would be.
Okay. Morgan, it's been a complete pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you very much for including me.